Hey friends, welcome back. Good to see you. I came across an old talk that I gave in 2016 in Rugby, North Dakota during a parish mission. And I'd like to share a segment of that talk with you because what we're talking about is how to deal with secret sin. And in fact, I think it's a little bit misleading, the title, because I believe there's no such thing as secret sin. And I'll explain why at the end of this video. But there's nothing that you've done in your life that's going to remain hidden and unknown. And that's true for my life as well. But when we talk about secret sin, what we're really talking about is our attempts to keep things secret. And this has a devastating consequence in our life. And this is what this talk that I'm going to share with you highlights. And at the end of the segment, we'll talk about why nothing can remain secret in our life.
I want you to imagine Johnny and Sally, little Johnny, little Sally, growing up on their grandparents' farm. And Johnny one day took out his newest purchase, his slingshot. And he was so excited to try it out. So he went to the edge of the farm, put a pop bottle on top of the fence post, took a couple steps back, reached down, put a rock into his sling, aimed at that pop bottle, whew, missed. Johnny got a little closer, reached down, picked up a rock, put it in the sling, aimed at the pop bottle, whew, missed. Now, Johnny's not only little in stature, but he's also little in patience. And so he's getting a little frustrated because he can't quite seem to hit the mark. So he gets a little closer, puts a rock into the sling, aims at that pop bottle, whew, misses. Now, Johnny is furious because it's right in front of him, yet he's missing. So in anger, he reaches down, picks up another rock, puts it into the sling, pulls it back with all his might, and in anger, lets that rock fly. And that rock flies up over the trees, over the house, and starts coming down by Grandma and Grandpa's barn. And as the rock's coming down by Grandma and Grandpa's barn, Grandma's prize rooster comes around the corner. And the rock and the rooster meet. The rock wins. Johnny sees the rooster way on the other side of the farm, kicking like crazy on the ground because he's hit it in the head and he doesn't know what to do. He runs all the way across the yard. He gets to the edge of the barn. He looks down. He sees the rooster and the rooster ain't kicking anymore. It's as dead as a doornail and he doesn't know what to do. So he looks around. His heart is beating. Oh, he's going to get into so much trouble because he's killed Grandma's prize rooster. Then he looks and sees the woodpile. Rooster, woodpile. He has a brilliant idea. He picks up the dead bird, runs over to the woodpile, makes a hole, puts it in, covers it up, and just when he thinks he's gotten away with it, out of nowhere, his sister Sally appears, like a mirroring apparition. She looks at him, doesn't say a word, but stares. And then as she's walking away, over her shoulder says, cock-a-doodle-doo. And walks away with attitude. Johnny's heart is pounding. He's going to get into so much trouble. Supper time comes. They're all sitting at the dinner table. Grandma and Sally, Johnny, Grandpa, everyone's having a good time. And Sally is unusually nice to Johnny. And it's killing him. He can't figure out why until the end of supper. Grandma goes to Sally and says, Sally, would you be able to help me with the dishes after supper? She looks at Johnny and says, actually, Grandma, Johnny would love to help you with the dishes. And whispers, cock-a-doodle-doo. Johnny says, yeah, I'd love to help you with the dishes. And gets up and he does the dishes. The next day, guess what happens? Johnny and Sally playing in the backyard. Grandma and Grandpa weeding the strawberry patch. Grandpa yells to Sally, Sally, can you come and help me weed the strawberry patch? She looks at Johnny, then says to Grandpa, actually, Grandpa, Johnny was just telling me how he loves weeding the strawberry patch. And whispers to Johnny, cock-a-doodle-doo. Johnny jumps up and says, this is why I'm here. starts doing the strawberry patch. Well, you get the picture. Over the summer holidays, Johnny's doing his chores plus his sister Sally's chores and is ruining his summer holidays. And he can't take it any longer. He works up the courage. He goes to his grandma to explain the situation. And says, Grandma, you know your prize rooster. She's like, the one I love about that. Well, I was playing with my slingshot at the edge of the farm. I shot a rock up into the air. I wasn't even looking where I was shooting. That rock came down by the barn just as your rooster was coming around the corner. And I hit it. And I killed it. And I was afraid of what you would say, so I hid the rooster in the woodpile. And his grandma looks at Johnny and says, I know. I saw the whole thing from the kitchen window. I'm just waiting to see how long you let your sister Sally keep you a slave. Now, my friends, the question is not if Johnny has a rooster in his woodpile. The question is, do we have roosters in ours? What are the roosters? Well, it's our sin. It's our shame. It's our mistakes. It's those times in our life where we fail to hit the mark that God is calling us to live, remember, in communion with our design or in contradiction to our design. When we live in contradiction, shame visits our hearts. And what do? We take those brokennesses and those pieces and we hide in the woodpile. All the while, what happens? The world, the flesh, and the devil come whispering along into our ears those condemning words, cock-a-doodle-doo. And it ruins our summer holiday, our life. And sometimes people live their whole life this way, in guilt, shame, condemnation, missing out on the freedom that God wants to pour into the heart. Why? Because, well, sometimes we don't know the consequence of sin. Really, we haven't articulated it. And other times we're afraid. But I think of Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, because if I look at my life, I don't know about yours, but I have trouble dealing with the roosters. Is anyone like me? I don't like talking about my roosters. I don't like bringing them out. But the only solution for sin is the forgiveness of God. It's the only one. It's not rationalizing it away. It's not pretending it's not there. It's not trying to make up for it for a whole bunch of good. Tipping the scales of salvation in our favor. You know, sometimes we do that. If we do something bad, we'll just be really good. And we'll make up for the mistakes that we've made. And we have trouble just saying, hey, God, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Here I am. Adam and Eve in the garden, they take the fruit and they fall out of relationship with God. We call it the fall. And it is a fall indeed. For in the garden, before they disobey God, they're enjoying a beautiful relationship with Him. They disobeyed God, took His place, or they tried to, and they fell out of relationship. And it's interesting. The very first thing that Adam and Eve do when they fall out of relationship with God is they try and hide on God. They run, in other words, to the woodpile, except they don't call it the woodpile in Genesis. It's called fig leaves. They run, they cover up, and they hide. Now, what are they trying to do? Well, they're trying to hide on God. Isn't that strike you as a little bit odd? How can you hide on somebody who's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere? We're talking about God. Incidentally, this is the first recorded case of hide-and-seek. They're hiding, God is seeking. Because God comes around the corner and says these words, "Where are you?" Pause. Did they successfully hide on God? I mean, God's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere, and He doesn't know where they are? If that's the case, my friends, the universe is in big trouble. He lost Adam and Eve. Or is there another reason for His question? I think there's another reason. Because every time God asks a question throughout salvation history, it is never for His own benefit, but for the benefit of the person or people He's speaking to. So in this case, it's for the benefit of Adam and Eve who've put themselves in this place of shame and cut themselves off from the very life of God. He calls to them, "Where are you?" Adam responds first. What does he do? He's like, "Wow, the woman that you put me here with, God, she deceived me and I ate." Notice that his fingers are at the woman and at God and at everywhere except himself. He fails to take responsibility for his actions. I think he gets frustrated with Adam and he moves on to Eve. What does Eve do? Well, at least she only takes out one finger. The serpent, he deceived me and I ate. But you notice that Adam and Eve fail to take responsibility for the actions that they did. And ever since then, humanity has had a finger pointing problem. Do you notice that there's a tendency within our hearts always to blame other people for our actions or our problems? We like to blame the government. We like to blame the neighbor. We like to blame the kids. We like to blame the weather. We like to blame circumstances. But most of the problems in our life have one origin. It's ourselves just making bad decisions. I know if I look at my life, when things fall apart, it's usually because I had a hand in them. And so we struggle, just like Adam and Eve did, going before God and saying, "Here I am." But who does that perfectly? Mary. The angel Gabriel shows up at her doorstep with this incredible proposal that she is going to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She's going to conceive a child within her womb. And how does she respond? "Here am I, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word." Her yes undoes the knot of Adam and Eve's no to God. And so we struggle, don't we? We struggle with being honest before God, acknowledging really what's in that wood pile. But practically, how do we deal with this?
So practically, how do we deal with our secret sin? By going to the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, why is there no such thing as secret sin, as I indicated at the beginning of this video? Well, because of what the church teaches regarding the general judgment. The catechism says, "In the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. The last judgment will reveal, even to its furthest consequences, the good each man has done or failed to do during his earthly life." And Scripture reminds us in Luke 12:2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nor hidden that shall not be known." So why is there no such thing as secret sin? Because in the general judgment, everything will be made known. Every time that we failed to respond to God's grace, and every time that we actually did respond to God's grace. And this will be for the purpose of glorifying God. And so I would ask you the question, are you attempting to keep certain sins secret? What I'm asking you not to do is to proclaim your sin from the rooftops, but to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, where God's mercy is waiting for you. Friends, thanks for watching.